Now the next presentation fits right in because as Sachin alluded to, our next speaker was the previous chair of the United States Access Board. But he's actually been a strong advocate with us and someone that has been responsive to our discussions about accessibility and education, which are top priorities for us. He's gotten a promotion, finally, since the time that we printed the agenda. So here is now the Assistant Secretary for the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services at the United States Department of Education. Here is Michael Uden.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you? I am truly, truly honored to be here, President Rick Bono, with Dr. Maurer, Jim Gashel, and my partner, Sachin, there, who I have the pleasure of serving as his vice chair at the U.S. Access Board. Congratulations, everyone. Congratulations on your 75th anniversary. It is truly, truly amazing the work that you all do here, and I am honored. I am purely honored to be here to address you today. The work that you do around raising expectations, around securing enduring equity, removing barriers, and creating opportunities for blind and low vision people in this country is so incredibly important. I just want to say to the young people here, and I know there are a bunch of young people here today, that your success reflects the fundamental belief in this country that if you give a child the opportunity to learn, that he or she can achieve anything. That if you aim high, there are no limits. And that your success is our success as a nation. You know, about 50 years ago, President Lyndon Johnson signed into law the original Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965, otherwise known as ESEA. And it ensured that kids from disadvantaged backgrounds had the same kinds of educational opportunities as their more affluent peers. When he signed that law, he said that he believed that no law he had signed or will ever sign will mean more to the future of America. He set full educational opportunity as our first national goal. But we all know that takes work. That takes real work to make that opportunity real. If you truly believe that all of our children deserve that kind of opportunity, then our collective work becomes extraordinarily clear. We know that when families and educators and community leaders work together, they can unlock the great vaults of opportunity of this nation, to echo the words of Dr. King from the March on Washington. We know that we have to work to make sure that that opportunity is not just a possibility, but it's a promise. We know that we've made enormous progress in those 50 years since Lyndon Johnson signed the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. We have passed IDEA and the ADA. We know that 40, 50 years ago, millions of kids with disabilities were denied access to public education. We know we've made an enormous amount of progress. We know that today, a majority of kids with disabilities spend about 80% of their time in the general classroom. We know that today, African American and Latino 9-year-old students succeed in math at about the same level that their 13-year-old peers did in the 1970s. Today, dropout rates are down significantly, and high school graduation rates have soared in recent years for all students. Just since 2008 alone, college enrollment by Black and Latino students has grown by more than 1 million. That's a big deal. And that's particularly because many of these young people are first-generation college goers. But clearly, our work is not done. The achievement and opportunity gaps are pernicious and they are persistent. For too many kids, circumstances of birth remain a barrier to opportunity. The odds are stacked. Opportunity gaps begin early, often at birth, and they compound over time, becoming harder and harder to bridge. Too many kids drop out of school. Too few kids go on to college. Too many are underemployed or unemployed, and far too many end up in jail. Our work will not be done until we ensure that that opportunity is, again, not just a possibility, but a promise. You know, the President of the United States, President Obama, has said that there is nothing, not a single thing, that's more important to the future of America than whether or not young people all across this country can achieve their dreams. And that's why we're all here today. Because, particularly for the young people, particularly because, as the president says, we believe in the idea that no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter where you come from, no matter what your circumstance, if you work hard, if you take responsibility, then America is the place where you can make something of your lives, that we care about you, and that we believe in you. So how are we going to get to these goals? I think there are three things, and I know we're going to be running short on time. I could talk all day. I won't. But there are three things: breaking down barriers, ensuring that students and families and educators have the tools they need to be successful, and identifying opportunities and exploiting them so we ensure kids' success. First barrier: low expectations. We must change the culture of expectations in this country. Too many parents, I've heard it, you all know it, too many parents hear from their doctors, from their kids' teachers, "I'm sorry, your kid's not gonna, your kid can't, your kid won't." That is not a parent's expectation of their child. Their expectation is, "My kid can. My kid will. My kid is able to succeed." We know from research that high expectations and access to the general curriculum actually make a difference. Yes. We know that teachers' expectations on a kid actually make a difference in their performance in reading and math. So again, we need to change the culture of expectations. That's the first barrier. We also need to begin focusing on results in the education field, particularly in special ed. We have spent so many years focusing on compliance and ensuring procedural safeguards that are critically important in special education, but we haven't focused enough on results. It's really important to focus on, again, on these procedural safeguards and compliance with the law. It is absolutely necessary. But if you look at how kids are doing in reading and math and graduating, students with disabilities have among the lowest performance outcomes out of all subgroups of kids. We need to change that focus and also look at results and outcomes. We also know that there's an inadequate access to Braille. We know that parents and advocates of blind children, that numbers of students receiving education instruction in Braille has decreased significantly over the past several decades, despite years of research that has shown that Braille is a very effective reading and writing medium for many students who are blind or visually impaired, including heightened self-esteem and increased likelihood of productive employment. That's why it was important for us at the Department of Education to issue guidance to remind states and local school districts of the importance of Braille instruction as a literacy tool for blind and visually impaired students, and to clarify the circumstances in which Braille instruction should be provided. I'm going to quote the law. The law says, in the case of a child who is blind or visually impaired, the IEP team must provide for instruction in Braille and the use of Braille unless the IEP team determines, after an evaluation of the child's reading and writing skills, their needs, and appropriate reading and writing media, including an evaluation of the child's future needs for instruction in or use of Braille, then that instruction or use is not appropriate for the child. This requirement, of course, applies to kids as they enter kindergarten, but as well as to children who will benefit from Braille later on because they face the prospect of future vision loss later on in their careers. Accessibility. The Attorney General talked about accessibility. We know that access to information and technology is so critical. Our Department of Justice, our Office for Civil Rights, has issued a series of guidance, has taken some very active roles in ensuring that colleges and universities ensure that emerging technology is accessible to individuals with disabilities, including those with visual impairments and other impairments that make it difficult to access printed materials. They must ensure that the technology is implemented in a way that affords individuals with disabilities an equal opportunity to participate and benefit from the technology. We explained that under the federal civil rights laws, blind students must be afforded the opportunity to acquire the same information, engage in the same interactions, and enjoy the same services as sighted students with substantially equivalent ease of use. Relying on these principles, our Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Justice resolved complaints filed by the National Federation of the Blind regarding universities that were asking or requiring students to use the Kindle DX. Those universities agreed to not use e-book readers that are not fully accessible to individuals who are blind or have low vision unless the universities provide reasonable accommodations so that a student can acquire the same information, engage in the same interactions, and enjoy the same services as sighted students with substantially equivalent ease of use. We've also taken this guidance and make sure that everybody understands that also applies to elementary and secondary schools as well. We have engaged in a number of enforcement actions requiring equal access to school websites and online resources. University of Cincinnati, Youngstown State University, University of Montana at Missoula. These all say that technologies, including websites, online course registration, library database materials, video classroom clickers, discussion boards, electronic textbooks must be accessible. Actually, just last month, the department and our department and the Department of Justice filed a statement of interest in litigation. National Association of the Deaf filed against MIT and Harvard, reiterating that Section 504 and the ADA applies to your online content. Effective communication. We issued guidance just a year or so ago regarding ensuring that educational agencies understand their requirements under the Americans with Disabilities Act as well as IDA, and ensuring that effective communication, requiring schools to ensure that students with disabilities receive communication that is as effective as communication with others through the provision of appropriate auxiliary aids and services. I'm going to run out of time, but I want to talk about tools and Bookshare. You all know about Bookshare, right? It converts instructional materials into accessible formats. We have over 28 personnel development prep programs that are providing supports to train teachers how to provide instruction to kids in Braille. Technology, the creating and disseminating a mobile app, the Braille Challenge mobile app, incorporating evidence-based strategies. Media services, video on demand TV programming is now accessible for thousands of students with visual or hearing disabilities. The Accessible Television Portal Project opens access to free video on demand children's television program for thousands of students who are blind, visual impaired, deaf, or hard of hearing. And finally, just one quick thing, President, I promise you I will leave. Two things I want to say. Randolph Shepherd is doing incredible work. That program actually has, in 2013, generated in excess of $708 million in gross sales, had a nationwide average annual income of $56,000. It employed over 14,600 individuals. Randolph Shepherd programs around the country are doing incredibly innovative work. They're working with private industries. The state of Illinois actually is contracted with the Randolph Shepherd program to operate the cottages at Carlisle Lake. It is the largest campground in the state of Illinois, offering services that include lodging, swimming pool that will accommodate 200 people, camp store, laundromat, vending machines. Georgia, the state of Georgia, the state licensing agency, is looking at having blind vendors work food trucks. There is so much innovation that's going on in the Randolph Shepherd program, and I urge you to work with our young people and mentor them and show them how they can take advantage of these opportunities. And finally, the last thing I want to say, and before I get the hook, is WIOA, Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. It provides so much opportunity to ensure that individuals with disabilities have the full, have the supports and the services and the skills and the training they need to engage in high quality, competitive integrated employment. there are so many really important things to talk about, focusing on transition and services to youth, limitations on subminimum wage, working with employees, making sure that VR counselors understand that the skills that are necessary to meet the demands of the economy, and creating a seamless, accessible workforce delivery system that is physically and programmatically accessible to all. So I'm gonna wrap up and just say that breaking down barriers, creating opportunities, and making sure that folks have the tools that they need. Fundamental belief, if you give a child a meaningful opportunity to learn, they will succeed. Equity in education is a core American value. Kids must have the chance to learn and achieve. Education must provide a path to a thriving middle class for all who are willing to work hard. Our national identity, our economic strength depend on it. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
You're not leaving. You're staying. No, I'm staying.